Steve, how are your retinas? Retinas okay?
Yeah, yes, they are. Healthy, perfectly healthy.
Did you use glasses or did you do like a colander?
I was inside.
You didn't go outside and look at it at all?
It was cloudy in State College. I could see that. I was in my office. I could see it was overcast. I did not go out there.
I'm really disappointed in
How
my
are your
podcast.
retinas?
They're fine. I used my glasses. They were very legit. I think they were from the Altoona Public Library. So
There you go.
shout out to them.
I had a pair of glasses. I just didn't use them.
Okay. Well, I'm glad your retinas are at least okay. And I'm okay because you're okay because you're here and I'm here. And this is called The Steph Summers Says Podcast
Steve.
with Steve. And Steve, it's a pretty big episode because it's Blue White Week. And so we got a pretty big guest. His name is Brandon Bell. He played linebacker during my college years for Penn State, of course, but also working as the co-host of The Pocket, which is kind of part of Adam Brenneman's little actual media empire. Like, I know we say we have a media empire, but Adam actually has a real media
They're
empire.
actually paying him.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we spent most of the time actually talking more about, I mean, we get to some football stuff because I mean, we have a Penn State linebacker on the podcast. Of course, I'm going to ask questions. But I think we get to a lot of his life, kind of actually how he got involved and why he is involved with the Mercury Project and kind of everything that goes into that. So take a listen to the interview, and we'll be back after this. Steve, back-to-back former Penn State athletes this week, or the last 2 weeks. And I'm very excited. And this one's very topical again. Very booking agent working hard.
I am geeked about the booking guy. We're going to double his pay. I'm telling you.
All the way up to.
I keep doubling. It's going to be like that game where you get a penny
say,
a day.
Yeah.
Guy's going to be a millionaire someday. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a former Penn State linebacker, former Cincinnati Bengal. And he's a current co-host of the Pocket. Oh, there he is. The Pocket, Brandon Bell. How are you, Brandon?
What's going on? What's going on? I appreciate that introduction. How you guys doing?
Good. Wonderful. We're good. We're excited you're here. We're excited to talk a little bit of football, talk a little bit about you. Let's just get into it. What's it like having Adam Brenneman as a boss?
AB is actually awesome. He is awesome. I've spoken about it before, but I noticed his kind of trajectory a few years back once he got into the media game and from coaching, and he's kind of only been elevating. I admired it from afar. And then, the stars kind of aligned and, they reached out and joined the squad, and I've been happy to kind of see the growth, be a part of the growth. And AB's fun, man. He's about his business, I'll tell you that.
He comes off very diligent, and I respect that. And I think one of the best benefits of Penn State fandom has kind of been the whole Mercury group and kind of everything you guys are doing. But how did you kind of get roped in, and what made you say yes to kind of join that process in that group?
Yeah, like I said, I was just admiring from afar, watching the content like a fan as like anyone else. And then as the season approached, I mean, I've had conversations with AB and I've seen him around. But as the season approached, maybe it was in mid-June or July, I would say, of last year, honestly, it just hit me up. Hack had some ideas, but he wanted a kind of a partner, didn't want to be by himself solo, kind of doing content as he was kind of new to it. And, honestly, I guess they just thought of me. They knew I was in the media industry. Me and Hack have a great relationship, live not too far from each other. And they reached out. And like I said, I was already a fan. And, when you see a good thing going, it was easy for me to just, accept and join the squad and help produce more and more content.
How has it kind of now being in the analyst role or podcast co-host role, how has it changed your perspective of how you consume or are around Penn State football?
Yeah, that's a good question. I won't say it has changed much, at least not yet. I still kind of see it through, player, alumni, Letterman's eyes. But, when we come back and we're speaking on certain topics, I do kind of see it more of a kind of journalistic view, kind of want to give viewers a different perspective. So I'm always kind of, since being in the media industry, always kind of looking for an angle, storyline, things of that nature. It's not just, hey, X's and O's, football, but what's the story behind X, Y, or Z? And that's kind of how I started to look at it more and hope to create more and be more creative with that.
Do you hear feedback from people, and what kind of stuff do you hear about what you're doing, and then what do you value of what you hear or not value? Like, what do you know to ignore, and what means anything?
I mean, yeah, getting back up to Penn State, obviously, you know, you get feedback online nowadays, which is majority of it. You don't see people too often, but the three or four games I went to this past season, man, it was a lot of feedback, people coming up left and right. And that was the first thing they say. It was, oh man, I love the pod, I love the show, I love what you guys are doing. So it's been mainly, honestly, all positive feedback, which, you know, you got to take with a grain of salt too. So there's not much I have heard that was kind of more critiques, at least not yet, but, you know, Hack and I always say it, you know, hey, let us know what you guys are thinking, you know, so coming on to year two, this next season, hopefully get more, you know, feedback and kind of find a way to grow more.
What's it like to be on the other side a little bit? I mean, to be able to comment on something or even to offer it through a player's eyes of something that maybe you, I don't know, wouldn't have talked about, but maybe didn't have the form to share. And you're kind of pulling back the curtain for people. What's that like? And have you had thoughts where you're like, okay, I'm going to say this, but I don't know if that's what I would have wanted somebody to say when I was playing, kind of thing. Just not even negative stuff, but just evaluation or clarity.
Yeah, starting with that point, I think in this day and age, you know, everyone's so kind of keyed into all the information that's flying around online, which from a player's perspective is not a good thing, you know. We should be, as a player, be locked in, but it's hard. I mean, nowadays, your phone's in your hand. It's hard not to see it. And I think you hear that from players, our own players themselves speak out constantly, and players around the country just like, hey, you know, we're humans and we're players too, or we're players and we're humans too. And we see all these things. So it's definitely, I'm kind of cognizant of that when I do speak out publicly on having an opinion of something. So, and I, as you said, being a player, I know what that's like, you know, but everyone's different. You know, some people can put the blinders on easier than others. I played with a bunch of guys that went through a lot of turmoil online from the fan base and things of that nature that still found a way to zero in and avoid the distractions. But it's definitely something I'm cognizant of. Definitely, you know, I have to choose what I say publicly, you know, a little bit wiser now, you know, although I'm also trying to be as authentic as I can be, because I've always kind of been that way too. The first part of the question, I've always been, you know, talkative or expressing of how I feel about Penn State football since I've at least been done. And when I was a player. So that's nothing new to me. Now it's kind of an official role to do so.
Gotcha. I think one of the things that is unique about you guys is not only are you former players, but you have the access into the program that maybe the true media doesn't necessarily have, or, you know, maybe Penn State itself doesn't necessarily want to share, or maybe puts a little bit of a more polished look on. How do you guys go about kind of, not in a greedy way, but how do you go about taking advantage of that and enlightening a fan's eyes with that access?
Yeah, I think, you know, it comes with great responsibility. You know, that's where we have to kind of teeter the line of being both, you know, lettermans and, you know, sacred to the program that, you know, we help build. And as players, you know, there's just certain things that, you know, you keep in-house and things of that nature, because you got to keep everybody, you know, within the guidelines to succeed. So we know that, but also, like we said, and we're entertainers now, or media, whatever you want to call it. So we kind of, you know, we're very, very cognizant of what we want to put out there when it comes to maybe something more a little close to the vest with the team. And honestly, I wouldn't say, you know, at least Hack and I, you know, we're not living up there in the locker room. We always say that, look, hey, we're not in the locker room. We know every year is different. Every team is different. We know that for a fact, and we're not in the locker room, so we don't know what's going on. But from our experience, this is our opinion in X, Y, and Z. But it's definitely fun to, you know, be a part of the program. And I only hope to get more attached and, you know, get more knowledge of what's going on.
There's so much more stuff now. Sorry, Darren. There's so much more stuff now than when you were playing, like so many more voices to avoid, to do blinders on. But I'm curious then, what was your sense of what you consumed that people knew what was going on? Like how much did the media actually have a sense of what was going on versus what was going on, right? Like, because in terms of access, and you'd look at stuff and say, that's just not even right, because they don't know, or dang, how do they know that?
Right. Yeah, I think that's definitely the case now. So, I mean, there's so many eyes and ears and speakers, including ourselves, onto what's going on with these kids, honestly, year in and year out. So with that being said, there's not much that, you know, isn't spoken upon about, which, you know, in my case, a few years back, even then it was, you know, we had technology, cell phones, social media, obviously, but it wasn't so much, I don't know, content consumed or just people locked in on what we were doing, I would say. There definitely was, obviously. I mean, you ask guys like Hack, Saquon, I mean, their social media, obviously, you know, anything they post would blow up. But to a certain extent, you could still kind of go be a kid in state college without too much, you know, had to worry about. Where now, I think, you know, any second you could be, you know, taking a picture of or anything like that, which is what these guys, I'm sure Franklin is on them about when they're out in public, like, hey, you have to be in your P's and Q's. You kind of can't let your shoulders down as much as I could, and definitely not as much as, you know, the legendary players in the 90s and 80s before social media and things of that nature. So it's definitely kind of something they have to bear on their shoulders constantly.
Gotcha. So you know, you go play football at Penn State, obviously, and you go play for the Bengals, and you kind of transition into a role away from football, and but also tangentially related to football. You went to work with NFL Films, and I believe you're working with the NBA now. Kind of, how did you get involved in those aspects? What's that transition been like?
Yeah, I mean, I thankfully have always had an interest in media as a kid. And throughout high school, you know, I always give a big shout out to my media teacher, Mr. Thomas. He was not the only media teacher, but he was kind of the sole guy of just like pushing it, getting kids to sign up for the club and the class. And I always made sure I was a part of that every year, doing fun projects. Me and my friends used to make YouTube videos kind of before it was really like a real job as it can be nowadays. So I've always been interested in it, cameras. Mr. Sampson knows it, had his journalism class, so as a communications major. So it was kind of easy once football started to fade out of my mind a little bit. It's like, okay, what can I put my passion into? It's entertainment, it's media. And, you know, through connections, my lovely girlfriend, who was a film student down at Full Sail, we were in the same media classes in high school making music videos. And before we got together, but she, you know, following her path, she made it to NFL Films, and I made great connections through her. And that's kind of how I got my foot in the door and then meeting people. And that's always been my kind of, you know, strong suit is networking, meeting people. And, you know, through the same thing, I kind of made my way to the NBA. And actually, I'm actually going back to NFL Films, kind of getting back to football will be this upcoming season. So still trying to navigate my way through this industry, but media, football, sports, entertainment has always been my passion.
What's maybe not necessarily your end game goal, but what is your kind of ultimate goal?
You know, I have, as I learn more about this industry and through these jobs that I've had and learning kind of the different phases and facets of media, different levels from the top down, from the groundwork, creative production to the top and kind of selling and, you know, managing media. I often think about, you know, maybe start my own media company and producing things and, whether it's sports related and really anything, maybe that's kind of the end game, you know, way down the line. But, you know, also I'm very in tune with, you know, becoming a great producer, director, and, you know, just following that right now.
What are you best at right now?
I think I'm best at directing, although I haven't had too many opportunities, I'll say professionally. I've had some through NFL Films, and a little bit of the NBA in different facets, but you know, whether it's doing my own thing and working with NIL company, producing little commercials and content, I really enjoy that. Kind of writing it, piecing together, kind of leading the team, being a captain out there on the shoot. I really enjoy that. But you know, comes to editing and just producing as a whole, Still, like I said, I'm still a sponge. I'm still learning it all, but I think directing is where I truly want to follow.
That's cool. You brought up everybody's favorite three-letter acronym, NIL. There, I'm curious. You just kind of missed the boat on the NIL experience as a player. I have to ask, how would NIL have changed your college experience?
That's a great question, man. I think about it often. As you said, just kind of missing the boat on that. I think I was more than a few years away, but either way, I think it definitely would have kind of only enhanced my college experience, I believe. When you think about having family able to make it, or being able to help your family make it to all games, home in a way, that's super cool to me. That's something I would have definitely, and my family would have benefited from, not really sweating about getting out to Wisconsin or Indiana. Things of that nature on a weekly basis, I'm saying, which, for most families, it's pretty hard to do, at least your whole family, maybe a parent here, parent there. But that's something I think I truly would have benefited from. And then honestly, just kind of getting your life started post college. And I'm not sure if kids are even thinking about this, but as a guy who didn't have, much in his pockets and signed a $5,000 signing bonus to Cincy on a free agent signing out of the draft. A couple more, digits wouldn't have hurt for sure. Just getting your life started, because not everyone goes on to NFL, whether it's getting to a job or going back to school. If you got some money in your pocket to just start your life, upstart your life, it's a beautiful sight to me.
I guess the one thing I was thinking about as we were talking about, your career passion. Sorry, my dogs are barking in the other room. Your career passion. I think there was a maybe it might have been Desmond King or one of the punters down at UCF had a YouTube page and couldn't run that YouTube page because the
Oh,
NCAA wouldn't have let him. I think. Do you think that is one of the benefits for NIL of the name, image, likeness aspect of getting your brand out there? And how would you have maybe done that, kind of putting on that director cap, not so much the football cap?
yeah. I think the kid, I don't know his real name, but Destroying is the YouTube kid.
That's what I was thinking of.
He's now playing for the USFL. I think it's the first time actually playing football since those days. But to your question, I mean, that's what NIL really is about. And I know it gets lost in the donors and the big dollar signs and things of that nature, but it's about monetizing off of your name and whatever that may be. I help kids now do that, figure things out. Like if it is video games, or if it is YouTube or cooking or whatever it may be, if you can, you have to monetize and capture the attention you have when you're at this moment. The 4 or 5 years you're at school, that may be the limelight of your life. And why not capitalize off that moment once again, like I said, to set up the rest of your life? Of course, everyone's dream is to go to the NFL and play 20 years and continue to build your name, image, and likeness. But not everyone's Tom Brady that's gonna ride off into the sunset with brand deals and, continue making money off of their name. A lot of us, when the pads are off, that's where the limelight dims. And as I said, taking advantage of that time and honestly just building off your brand and creating your brand, it's a win-win to me, and I'm glad the kids are able to capitalize off it now.
Did it, for lack of a better term, piss you off that we were students at the same time, essentially? I could go out and make money off of a blog or whatever I created, and you couldn't make money, yet you're raking in all of this money for Penn State in a way by putting on the football jersey. Did that upset you, or was that just part of the deal?
I can't say it truly upset me. Kind of going back to the original question last time, I would like to think that I would have, kicked off my, YouTube or whatever it may be, get into media as a student more. But at the same time, it is still hard for these kids, the student athletes, to honestly add another role to their title, to the student athlete. That's three, becoming whatever you want to call it, a YouTuber, content creator, anything like of that nature. It's pretty hard. There's only so much time in a day. So I don't think I was truly pissed by like the fact that you could go do that. Because honestly, my focus was on school and the field, not much else. Although obviously I wasn't thinking about trying to make money any other ways, but at the moment, that was all my concern was.
How hard is what you're trying to do now compared to trying to make the league as a football player? I know there's a total physical difference, but I'm always curious about competition in trying to find your niche. What's your sense of how hard this is and or how hard it's going to be?
I mean, that's something I talk to a lot of people about. I get messages on LinkedIn from younger kids, students, asking me kind of how to get my foot in the door and X, Y, and Z. They see the things I post, whether it's NBA or NFL. And I always tell them, like, look, I'm not going to come to you like I'm some, multi Emmy winning producer, director. But I will give it to you straight. Like, hey, this is a competitive, almost, I would say it's just as competitive to get in as the NFL, or maybe not just as, but it's hard in the same regard because there's so many people that want to do it. I even look at Penn State, talking to Mr. Poirman the last few years. You know, there's new majors and the new buildings and the media aspect. You know, everything is, which is great for the kids. It's centered around sports specifically. And I think when I was in school, there was maybe sports journalism that might have been the only kind of sports specific. You could probably correct me if I'm wrong. But definitely wasn't as many as there are now. I go into the new building on campus and the studios and the radio, the newspapers in there, the podcast rooms. I mean, it's great for these kids because it only elevates, you know, the industry as a whole. But you also got to think, you know, how many kids are Penn State bringing in each year? 45,000, 50,000. Certain percentage of those kids are going to be right behind you in that same major, gunning for those same jobs in 5, 4 years. And in the industry now, there's only being more cuts. I think we all see ESPN, Disney, you name it, budgets are getting cut, so it's definitely competitive.
Brandon, I'm curious, what are you most proud of? What there's in between football and life at, not after football, but life kind of after playing football. What are you most proud of?
It's a deep question, man.
Sorry.
No, that's good. You know, I'd say I think I'm most proud of just remaining myself throughout my journey, you know, with all the success and failures in football, kind of taking all those lessons into life after football and just remaining myself, continuing to kind of build off the kind of core values that I have. And, you know, I think you carry those things, you know, through the ups and downs because, you know, we all have them. Obviously, when you're a player, they're more public, you know, when it comes to the actual football failures and successes. But then as in you know, outside of football, it's the same thing. So I think I'm most proud of just, you know, everything I've accomplished and throughout my journey in sports as a whole. And I'm, you know, proud to continue that, knowing that, you know, I have the core values to keep going and to success.
I got a
I'm
couple dumb
curious.
football questions.
Go ahead, Steve.
And
The first one's going to
What's
sound
the
negative.
dumb
The
question?
first one's going to sound negative, but it's not. But I just want to start there.
Okay.
You signed at the NFL. Sorry. You signed with the NFL. When did you know? Did you know it wasn't happening before they told you? Like, in terms of playing, could you be like, oh, well, shit, I'm pretty good, but I'm not this good? Or was it, no, I had a chance. I don't understand why they caught me.
No, I think, you know, at least for me, it wasn't you know, I'm not good enough thing. It's just, you talk about that margin of error, man, for, you know, it's different for every single person, but, you know, there's slots of like, okay, undrafted guys, late round guys, mid round guys, you know, the first round guys, you know, the margin of error is different. So, you know, when it comes to that, it's like, okay, and this is not the way you should think. You should just, you know, tunnel vision, but you start tallying up the mistakes you might have made, and then you're like, oh damn, you know, that may not end well for me in my case, you know. So with that being said, the end of camp, you're like, okay, I think I balled out. I know I balled out, I played hard, but the mistakes might have added up. You know, you almost, coming from my position, you almost dang near got to be perfect.
Okay. What was the best hit you ever put on somebody at Penn State?
That may be subjective. Because sometimes as a defender, you think you may have boomed a guy, but you know, he's talking later, like, oh yeah, that was okay. It was a decent hit. I'm trying to think.
Want to know the ones you talk about, not what the other person.
Yeah,
What's the one when
what's the
somebody
ones that
says,
you're
you said, hey, Brandon, and you're with your friends or whatever else, you're like, oh, this one time,
well,
this
that's the
guy.
thing, is like for me, I'm never really that guy, but I've had people come up to me, whether high school and college, it was like, man, you hit me like this, like that. Sometimes I have a hard time remembering the actual hit, but to them, it's way more of a bigger deal. But off the top of my head, I don't think this. I don't know. Off the top of my head, I hit the San Diego State quarterback on the sideline. It's probably been 20. Yeah, we played him 15.
2015.
I remember it because I almost got jumped on the sideline. It's like a YouTube clip of it. As he was throwing him, I guess I hit him late. I don't know, but that one sticks out to me. I thought I licked him pretty good. I got a good lick on him. I don't know. Yeah, that's a, I think I had a good hit against Purdue after the Ohio State win, 2016, where it was like just a super lull game. They had us kind of on the ropes for a little bit, I think until halftime. That year was so funky. Yeah, that those two pop out to me. It's hard. It's hard.
Thank you.
From that 2016 team, I don't want to belabor those points because I'm sure you get asked about that a lot. But
It was a magic
what
band.
what's that? What was what what's the one most special thing that stands out to you about that whole year? What one moment, one person, one whatever? What's the most special part of that year to you?
To me, hands down, was going undefeated at home as a senior, as a captain that year. Kind of like, holding the ranks at home, your home base. And obviously, through the ups and downs of that season, it was shaky. It was injuries. There was, new starters and players having to step up. But I think throughout that year, that's the most special thing to me. And then riding off kind of in the sunset after beating Michigan State. One, finalizing undefeated at home, and obviously learning we're going to the Big Ten championship was a special, special moment in my heart, my mind, that I will forever kind of remember. And you get your year on the stadium. It's a big deal to me.
I want to know, when did you guys know that you guys were actually going to the Big Ten title that game? Did you guys figure it out from the crowd, like collectively, most people figure it out? Okay.
It was that, but at the same time, I think at that moment we were up by a good margin, had a good control of the game, so it was kind of, it felt good. If the game was tight, I don't know if many of us would have paid attention to the crowd as much, but it was a good feeling, like I said, going undefeated and learning that.
Last big picture football question, and we've got the rapid fire ones that we always ask our Penn Staters. It's not a really big picture, but you wore number 11 at Penn State. First part of that is, what did that mean to you? And second part of that, who is the best to wear number 11 at Penn State?
Man, number 11 was special. As I got older and really learned the lineage and history of Penn State football and the linebackers specifically, I was recruited by Coach Ron Vanderlinden and kind of the last of the old guard, him and LJ. And we have a great relationship. We actually share the same birthday. I always text each other every year. So kind of getting recruited by him, even though I never met Joe Pye, he kind of instilled some of that history. I still have a CD of like, this is back when I was recruited where they handed out CDs of kind of like football drills, and it's like Puzzlesny and these guys, working the old drills. I actually just saw it. I just found it again.
That's
Yeah, so like learning that history, it was very special to me, and I always loved the number 11. Actually, even in high school, I was just never, the I never was a I never asked for any opportunities or anything that I really didn't need. I wanted number 11 in high school, but we always did it by seniority. And by the time my sophomore year, when I got to pick my number, I just kept it throughout school, throughout high school. And I remember I asked for number 11 coming into Penn State to Coach Ron Vanderlinden, and he kind of just brushed it off like, "Oh yeah, let's wait on that. Don't think, but don't worry about that right now. You're gonna wear 26." I was like, "Okay." And then after the pinstripe bowl, I came to Coach Franklin and them, but wanting to switch. They're like, "Okay, we'll talk about it. Let's get back home after Christmas break, blah, blah, blah." And thankfully, they let me do it. And I think I wore it well. One of the best number 11s, and I gotta put myself up there because I'm confident always. But I probably was a bigger fan of Navarro just because. Being more of an undersized linebacker when you come to learn, 6 foot linebackers, he still had all the tools and was dominant, fast, and ferocious, and made plays. Honestly, that's the thing about number 11 to me. I think you have to like make impactful plays. I believe I did that for my teams that I was a part of, and I think all players kind of find their way to make that happen. I think that's the special part about it.
Hey, you're the number 11 of my college years, and you'll always be the number 11 of my college
Exactly.
years. So
Everyone is to someone, so I
it
appreciate
means
it.
something to me. All right.
Jesus, we should have theme music for all these questions you're asking. There was like, "Oh, you're the number 11 of my college years." Then there's
mean,
other
just
questions.
hey, I'm being
Good
honest with that. I
Lord.
don't get what else do I get to talk to Brandon Bell? All right, let's get you out of here with our rapid fire questions we like to end on. Your go-to creamery ice cream flavor.
Oh, cookies and cream. I'm basic.
That's a respectable answer. I enjoy cookies and cream. Okay. You are the czar of Penn State sports for one day. What's your big change?
Oh, I gotta bring in the black unis for football easily. Black and pink. Come on now.
Thank you.
Nike Tech, new, unveil it, make it a big thing, market it, content, blackout in the stadium with a pink stripe. I have the whole vision.
He wants to make the more than just the hype video for that.
Oh,
Okay. The last one is you're back in town for one night and one night only. What bar are you walking into?
yeah. Man, this is a it's a tough one. I think my favorite one's not even there anymore.
What was that?
Yeah, well, that's an acceptable answer.
I'd say Chrome. Me and my friend Jordan Smith Smoothies love Chrome, the little hookah bar at the
Okay.
end. But now there's so many connections and it's a little political. I gotta say Champs at the same time.
Okay.
Ben is always a classic. But I have relationships everywhere, so
Okay.
those, I'll say those three. I'm cheap.
Okay. Well, that's fair. You know what? Now that I think about that, I think I ran into Brandon Bell at Chrome one night.
Oh, you went to Chrome probably for
I
sure.
probably did. Yeah. Now that I think about that. All right, Brandon. You've got the podcast. Where can people find the podcast? Your stuff. Really your moment to plug.
I appreciate it. Yeah, you can find everything, the pocket, through the state media handles. That's Twitter, Instagram, and all the other content we're pumping out. Mercury, Team Mercury, mothership of it all. And then you can find anything I'm doing, personally at underscore underscore BBELL. That's B Bell. That is me on Twitter and Instagram. Looking to pump out more content myself. It's a little hard, but I'm always trying to push out more things for myself. Just create, as I was saying before. I'm part of an NIL, marketing team, Act Sports. We're helping some young athletes kind of monetize, as I said. And you can find everything there at acts.sportsgroup on Instagram. Pumping out content as well. So that's about everything right now for me. And looking forward to get back to football, get back with NFL films and produce and edit more content too.
Well, thank you for joining us, Brandon.
Thank you guys for having me.
Steve, do you want to know what the highlight of that interview was for me? It wasn't that we got to interview a Penn State
It was that
linebacker.
you both went to Chrome.
Well, it wasn't even that. No, it was the fact that
Wow.
he called you Mr. Samsel.
Oh.
I love that. That made me so happy.
I when he said it at the time, I'm like, that's why he's a good dude. Like, God
He's
bless him.
he.
Like, I, yes.
No, that was great. That was very insightful because I think a lot of times, particularly with football players, and maybe particularly with Penn State football players, we are so wrapped up in the persona of them that we forget that there's a real person there. And I think between the Pocket podcast itself and then kind of that interview there, just that conversation, you get to see, Brandon has high intentions and wants to go places and wants to accomplish a lot. And I think that's commendable because I think, a lot of people could just throw in the towel and say, "Yeah, I made it to the NFL. We're good here," and move on. But he really wants to achieve something and do something. So credit to Brandon there. That was interesting. I think the couple of interesting parts to me of that interview, though, the NIL aspect, I was curious about. And it's interesting to hear that like he there are other we forget about the. Kind of going back to the initial point, we forget about the actual impact of NIL. And I know for you, that's you struggle with NIL in general, but that I do see that a lot. And I think that's one of the good aspects. And to me, one of the aspects that has always made no sense that I could make money, but he couldn't. So that was interesting. And I think just his career journey is interesting, how he kind of transitioned from life after football. I think that's exciting because I think what they're doing with Mercury and what he's doing with kind of the two leagues is exciting, and he's going to go places that you're going to know him not just as a football player.
Yeah, I think he's thoughtful, he's organized, he doesn't react just to react, right? Like, I think he has a plan. And I think that's the way he was as a student, right? Like, he was diligent, smart, paid attention. And I think he's, like you said, he's networking. Whatever some of his strength is, networking. Like, get me in the door and I'm gonna figure out how to do this. I'm gonna ask questions, I'm gonna be a sponge. And I think that's true to who he is. I thought his NIL answer about time management was important too, right? Like, I mean, we think, oh, hey, here this is. And I think for me, and clarify, maybe, and again, it's shades of gray and splitting hairs. Like, I'm okay with the NIL for the kid who's really the money maker, right? Like, but when we're giving everybody money just for being there, that which is what the consortium has made the NIL and like this pay for play thing, that's where I struggle with it because it diminishes the scholarship value of it. But I thought he was great about what would I do with NIL, because I think there was a part there where he was like, okay, would I have had time for that? And I think even, and this is me projecting now, but would I have been smart enough as a college kid to do what I know to do now in his role? Like in his role now, he knows, oh, I got to make create content. I got to do this. I hope the kids, and I have a couple aspirational asks. I'd like to get Omar Easy on from the brand stuff from Penn State to see what they're telling kids. Like, because it's great. I got this money. I'm going to have a plan. I'm going to do whatever. But you know, I could buy this right now too. Right. And I'm a college kid. Right. So I think that's a part of it. But I know I love Brandon's perspective and his hard work. And yeah, he's going to do. I'm glad he's back at NFL Films this year. He's got Hard Knocks coming up. He's going to be great.
And I think that's the thing that stood out to me too is the thoughtfulness that he had, particularly about how they've approached this Mercury slash state media venture, because he's respectful of the power that he has as a voice, kind of being a former football player. But I think the thing that I've enjoyed about them is, and this isn't not to diminish their podcast or whatever, but I think I like every time I listen to their podcast, I forget that that's Christian Hackenberg and Brandon Bell, former Penn State football players, and it's very informational, and I think that's why they do a nice job with it, because they kind of put that to the side. So credit to them for that in particular. So well, yeah, thanks to Brandon for joining us, Mr. Samsel. That made me happy. I enjoyed
There
that.
you go, making your day.
Okay. This week's blue white game is Saturday at 2 o'clock. Penn State will play Penn State. This is your blue white preview. I don't know. I said to you as we were kind of coming down with our content list of what we're going to talk about, I haven't really formulated my thoughts on the Penn State football season or Penn State spring practice or anything of that matter quite yet. So I think this is going to be the first tapping of the well. So here we go. This is all very raw and random, and here's where I'm at with the season. I think Penn State really has to make the playoff. I think just in the eyes of everybody involved in this conversation, everybody, it's just, and maybe it's just my personal stress levels of, I don't want to just deal with the life of Penn State not making the playoff, because I just really feel like they have to make the playoff this year, and I hate the hold the gun to someone's head type thing, but that's really where I'm at with it. I'm interested to see how this team matures, because this will be kind of year three of this core, between Drew, the running backs, and Abdul. I feel, for the most part, I think the roster turnover isn't going to be that aggressive or concerning to me. I think the wide receiver thing is still going to be the biggest issue. And that is very much until proven otherwise. I feel very much solid about Penn State's defense, and I'm excited to watch Penn State's defense under Tom Allen. So those are my initial 30 seconds of thought that I've given the Penn State 2024 Penn State football season.
So what
Any
you'll be in the
rebuttals?
stadium on Saturday. What will you be watching for?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be in the stadium on Saturday, because it's very much weather dependent
It's
with
going to be
this new
dry.
parking situation. But it's supposed to rain all week and mud. I have to park out. I'm not rich enough, Steve. I can't park on pavement.
Yeah, there's wealthy people.
I know.
What
No,
would
I
you
think
if you were to be
if
in the
I was in
stadium,
the
what would
stadium,
you
to
if you
answer your
do go into the
question,
stadium, what would you like to see? What would you focus on?
I'm interested to see the energy levels, because I think the thing that has come through in the media, make that face at me. I think the thing that I'm most interested to see the energy levels, because I just last year kind of ended disappointingly, but yet last year was also a building block year, kind of looking back on it, in a lot of ways for that core of guys that we mentioned. I'm interested to see what the energy levels are like, because we keep hearing this about Andy Kotelnicki. We keep hearing this about Tom Allen, that there's a refreshing air But I've read multiple different columns angles on this refreshing air around practice at the Lash Building. And I want to see if I can see that. And then I'm just going to completely forget about it. And we'll really start to pay attention to it come July.
Sir?
Is that fair?
So if the weather's made the parking lots wet, you aren't going to come and park and just not, you're going to watch it on TV?
Well, here's the deal. The whole point, the whole benefit of blue white game is I can park wherever I want usually. Now I am assigned parking and I like to park on the pavement.
Gotcha.
And so that's a big plus because then here's one of the main reasons. If I have to go to the bathroom, I can just walk right into the stadium, leave, come back in and go back into the game type thing. Now I can't do that. I don't know. That's why I'm very whatever about the weather.
Do you know what that is? And I haven't used that in this podcast. I don't think I've ever used this in this podcast. Do you know what that is? And it's a specific one too. Wow. I can't believe I've never done this before.
What?
That is the man keeping you down. And that man is power. Pat Kraft.
Let's fight the power. Are you trying to get me riled up after?
No, but I when you said parking, I totally forgot open parking for blue white and you were losing like just because I don't.
Legitimately, I think it's. Did I rant about this last week?
I don't think you've complained about the parking.
Okay, can I rant
last
about
week?
It, now?
Last week it was student ticketing. So yes, you have time to talk about the parking. Right.
I just think it's kind of BS. Like the whole point of the blue white game is the one we've talked about this before. We talk about this every year. It's the one affordable time that any family can show up and bring your family to the game and have a good day, have a fun day about Penn State football. And now we have to either have day of parking, which I'm fine if they want to charge me for parking because it's no different. Like they're either charging me for parking or they're charging me for a ticket to go into the game. And that's fine. I don't care what they do with that money. But like it makes no sense. Like they have all of the lots for the same day of game parking out way out in the cow fields. Who's gonna wanna park there? Like who knows to park there? Everybody, I don't know. I'm grumpy about blue white. That's why I'm grumpy about this weekend.
I'm just now reading the rules. Like this, so it went from was park. Did you have to pay for parking last year?
Well,
it was part of your season ticket package.
Part of the season ticket package, I think. And I think it's like the last few years you've had to pay for it.
Okay.
Regardless, but never you could just pay and park wherever. So like the whole thing about blue white is not necessarily about the game. It's to hang out with your friends and then go to the game. Now I'm forced as a fan to choose between going to the game and parking where I'm supposed to park, or like, how am I going to get all my tailgate stuff over to the other tailgate that's in the other lot when last year we could all pull in together. And I think that's a big value for the spring game is there's no meaning to this game. It's a practice. So the meaning comes from the communal aspect that we get. And I don't know, it just annoyed me that we preach this in marketing aspect of it, and then the actuality of it, we don't get that. I thought way too much about this.
No, you're not wrong. It's I forget if I used the line somewhere, right? It's all about the community and group until it's not, right? Till you have to pay us for it. So it'll be interesting to see if people care. Like it's been funny to watch people complaining about parking for the concert in 2 weeks, right? Like the Luke Combs parking, right? $100 the stadium or 60 in the lots. But at the same time, and I think this is a fault on them and their marketing and promotion stuff, right? They should have been either upfront about it or just put it out there. But again, if you're going to go see a concert like this in Pittsburgh and you're from Center County, till you drive there with gas and pay the parking, whatever that is there, you're close to this number. And you save the time in having to drive. And there are other options. And I think the thing that it would sound like excuse making if they did it, but it would still be potentially honest. But they won't do it, won't share it. Luke Combs is doing two nights in every football stadium he's going to go to except this one. He's only doing one. And I assume he's probably not giving Penn State a break on how much it costs for him to show up. Maybe he is. But they're probably trying to make a decent amount of revenue in one night that other people are making in two. So I think there's ways they could have messaged that better as well. And again, any change now that's coming, and maybe I'll be the first. Oh, that's they're raising some more NIL money, right? Like anything they can get money for, they're going to get money for, it feels like. And that's just a change, which is noticeable.
It's noticeable, but my problem with it is the it goes back to what you said in the very first sentence there is the communication level. And I feel like between the student season ticket thing, between the parking thing, because they didn't announce that up front when people bought their tickets, because and tickets didn't seem don't seem to be that cheap for this concert. I mean, I'm not a country guy, so I don't know the draw of Luke Combs, per se, but I think. And then goes back to the NIL, or I'm sorry, the Nittany Lion Club donation increasing on season tickets this year. Just be if you be upfront with it and say, hey, here's why we're doing this, here's how we're doing this, maybe show me that you put a little more thought into it than you necessarily did. That's re the student ticket situation in particular. I think as a fan, I can at least digest that a little bit better. And that's why I'm having a tough time with all of this kind of this is now four or five things in a row that's just kind of annoying that the communication here goes a long way.
That's fair.
Any football thoughts at all?
I think you're right. I think as we look to the fall, I think the playoff is going to be what people expect, have as an expectation. There's just so little that I think you can gain from watching Blue White or that need as long as nobody gets hurt. Like I can't even, maybe there's a lineman, right, who came in now and is after 15 practices, maybe you can see if he's half decent holding himself up against somebody who's been here longer. Maybe that's interesting if you're really there. But as long as some wide receiver isn't dropping the ball six times and nobody gets hurt, like it's hard for me to put much value in this because I've seen so many spring games here and other places where like some running back runs for 125 yards and like, oh, it's going to be the at Pitt, it was Tim Colicchio. It's going to be the Tim Colicchio era. Tim Colicchio's era ended when that blue and when that whatever pick colors are ended that spring that he was playing running back. Like that was the era. It was those 2 hours when he was in a spring game, So there's not a lot.
We must bring him up at this point. Shout out to Cole Cipielli, the greatest Blue White game
Exactly.
performance I've
Right,
ever
right,
seen.
right.
Shane McGregor, as much as I love Shane
Yes.
McGregor's performance in the Blue White game, also up there
Yep.
as well. Yeah, no, I think that's a good I think that's a good way to see it. I think the most intriguing or exciting thing isn't even the offense or defense styles to me and how they're presented. It's to see the reaction Julian Fleming gets. I think
No,
that
it's
will
fair.
be the most exciting part of Saturday.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. That's about it. This week's old
Adam
guy, young
Bredeman's doing
guy.
the broadcast. There you go. We can further plug
Okay.
those folks. He's working the broadcast with Matt Millen and the Big Ten folks who are, I think will have a good sense of what's going on. I talk to them and I'll write something for Stuff Summer Says about their preparation. I was impressed. I mean, they're pros. I think Big Ten Network making its people available to talk is great. And their partner group is Fox. I think if Fox would make their people a little more available, I might like them more.
I think the nice thing about the television aspect is we've started to like understand that this isn't like don't present it like a regular game. And I think having those, particularly those two on the broadcast will be fun. I had a thought. Oh no, we're gonna go to Old Guy Young Guy, which is also related to Saturday, and it's also related to Penn State.
Woohoo! Look at us, we got a theme, a plan.
Oh yeah, look at this. Former Penn State wrestler. Now, UFC star Bo Nickel has a bout in UFC 300. I actually forget the guy's name that he's fighting. But it kind of brought me on a question because as we were watching the basketball games this weekend, we got an ad for it. And I've never paid for a pay-per-view fight. Has Mr. Samsel ever paid for a pay-per-view fight?
I have not paid for a fight. I paid for a WrestleMania, I think once, like a piece of it with friends that we split. I went to some guy's house a few years ago to watch Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. Was that 4 or 5 years ago? Somebody was on a baseball team, old guy baseball team was doing that. So I went to that. And I think when I was in Pittsburgh years ago, when we first started the paper, there were a couple guys that were wrestling guys. I think we split a pay-per-view for WrestleMania once, back when it probably cost $20 and we were paying $5 a piece or something like that,
At least the nice thing about WrestleMania is it's
You
not
know you're getting
fake,
three
but
or
it's
four hours,
you're
but right.
yeah, like
Right. No, like with UFC stuff, man, you could pay, it could be
it
over.
could be
Right.
done
No, exactly.
quick.
Well, you knew that with WrestleMania, you were getting 3 and 3+ hours or whatever. Plus, it was about the people you were with, right? So,
Yeah, never. I don't think I've ever paid for a fight. I
what
would,
would prompt you
but
to do that? You got Bo
that's what I
Nickel
was gonna
here, who
say.
this is Penn State, and this is what we do. Like, why would you not watch him?
I think a Bo title fight would, and I think that would be more than just a prompting me to pay. Like, I think that's like a get with a group of friends and experience that one. Yeah, no, I've never. I think the was it Mayweather Pacquiao? I kind of watched it on an illegal stream, but I'm not a big wrestling guy.
Mike
So there's.
Tyson, we had a kid in high school who had his family had HBO, right? So we would go to
Okay.
their house to watch Mike Tyson on HBO. And that was like before it was like big pay-per-view bites, but that was as close as it got, you know, without paying pay-per-view. And that was okay. But again, I think with Tyson, it was over. Like, oh, I'm gonna go
Yeah.
over to you know, Randy's house. Oh, good seeing you. It's over. See you. You know?
No, I've never really felt like it. Did you watch WrestleMania this weekend?
No, I consumed on social media afterwards. We had stuff, there was basketball and whatever else. So I saw Twitter stuff afterward.
What? I didn't realize Cody Rhodes had like a Penn State connection.
He does? Question mark.
Yeah, apparently like he like was recruited to wrestle at Penn State.
Oh, maybe, possibly.
Which is
Sure.
interesting. So we can essentially say that, Penn State has not also only all of these national championships, but the undisputed heavyweight champion in the world, or whatever his title is.
Sure, let's
Just
go.
getting wrestling content in here because that's
There
what
you go.
works really well
There
for
you
us.
go. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's this week's podcast. I hope maybe I'll see you Saturday, Steve. Maybe.
We'll have to talk. Maybe you'll have to slum with those of us that aren't, you know, over by you rich people at the stadium.
I get busy. We'll figure it out. I don't know. I might just park at the deck. If the deck is open, I might just do that.
There you go.
I just want ice cream. I kind of just want the, I kind of want to go for the ice cream and that's it. I mean,
They'll
to
sell
see
it to
you
you.
too. Okay. That was this week's podcast. I'll have something on the blog. We'll do our usual pattern, I think, of like a Thursday game preview type thing. I'm putting together something else a little fun. I'm not gonna tell you what that one is, but it's fun.
Cool.
It's not a blog post, it's just like a social media post, but I think we'll have fun with that one. Put that together. Sounds like you're gonna write something. So excited about that. So that's all on stuffsummersays.com on that website. There's a section called
Steve.
with Steve. Thank you to Brandon for joining us. That was a great conversation. Be sure to check out all of his stuff, all their stuff. We've got emails. Mine's Darian at stuffsummersays.com. Steve's is.
Steve at stuffsummersays.com.
And Steve, I actually got like two emails this week. Not to brag, but like I was very excited. So thank you to everybody all those two people that emailed me.
Everybody, two of you.
All
One of them
two
was
of
a
you.
bill.
And other than that, subscribe for the 5 stars, thumbs up. Thank you to everybody that's recently subscribed. Twitter handles? Yeah. Mine's that stuff. Summer says Steve's is.
At Steve Sampson.
We're out of here. Goodbye.